Okay, so here we are, Thursday night before Parshas Shlach. And as I mentioned in the email that we sent out a little bit earlier today, this coming week, Be'ezus Hashem, is a big one for our shul as well as shuls around the New York area, because according to state law, we'll be able to have the shul filled up to 25% occupancy, which Baruch Hashem, in a case like ours, where our shul sits 600 people or so, means that we could have 150 people at any given minyan. And our one request to that is halavai. So the sign-up system that we've been using for people to come to minyanim, we're going to discontinue. We're just going to keep the minyanim in place, and anyone who wants is able to come and participate. If you're number 151, you may run into problems, but we're not really anticipating that that's going to be an issue. So that's good for us. And the shiurim are going to continue, Be'ezus Hashem. So you know, that's just in terms of the davening and the shul, but in terms of the learning at night, we're going to continue this, you know, regularly from 8:30 to 9.
Are all upstairs?
Everything is going to be upstairs. Yeah, everything's upstairs. So that's Baruch Hashem. That's it's good for us. It's good to show that things in the state in general are going in a good direction, and halavai, we should just keep things should be better and better in terms of the machalo which is out there, and everyone should stay safe and should stay well. That's really the main thing from our perspective. Want to share
tonight? Will those who attend the minyan be required to wear masks?
Yeah, everyone is still required to wear masks and to do social distancing, meaning, you know, we've roped off the benches, and people could only sit like every third bench or so. And again, people shouldn't sit next to one another if they're not immediate family members. So, you know, masks,
okay,
and social distancing, that will all be, you know, appropriate. And again, anyone should consult with their medical professionals in terms of, you know, any specific issues that they may have. Okay, so what I want to share tonight is a beautiful exposition on Parshas Shlach from Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal. This is presented by Rabbi Avishai David, who is the Rosh Yeshiva of Torah Shraga in Yerushalayim, is the Rav in Ramat Beit Shemesh. In the book that he published a couple of years back, Dorash Dorash Yosef, which is a collection of the shir that he heard from his Rebbe, from Soloveitchik, a collection of the drashas on the Parshiyos HaShavua that he heard over the course of many years. The very first Rashi in Parsha Shlach tells us as follows. Shlach lecha anashim. Moshe Rabbeinu is told, send forth the Meraglim. So Rashi says, Lama nismecha Parshas Meraglim leParshas Miriam. Why is it that the story of the Meraglim is related right after the story of Miriam? We know the end of Parshas Baloscha describes how Miriam initiated a Lashon Hara against her brother Moshe. She was punished, as we know, with Tzara'as, for having spoken out against Moshe Rabbeinu. And immediately after that, we're told in the beginning of Parshas Shlach about the story of the Meraglim. Is there any juxtaposition, is there any thematic connection between these two stories? So Rashi explains, yes, he quotes the Medrash Tanchuma, and he says as follows. Lefi shelaksa al iske diba, Miriam, as we know, was punished because of how she spoke inappropriately. Shedibra be'achiha, she spoke inappropriately against her brother Moshe. Rishayim halalu rov alalokhu musa. And these Rishayim, these wicked people, the Meraglim, they saw what had happened to Miriam, and yet they didn't learn the lesson of Miriam. Miriam spoke Lashon Hara against Moshe Rabbeinu, and she was severely punished. The Meraglim should have learned from Moshe, from the story of Miriam, not to speak Lashon Hara against Eretz Yisrael. So says Rashi. Let's try to understand this, Rashi, because on the surface, the connection between the Lashon Hara of Miriam and the Lashon Hara of the Meraglim, it's not so easy to understand. How do you speak Lashon Hara against a land? if you were to ask me, the sin of the Meraglim would not really be characterized as speaking Lashon Hara against Eretz Yisrael. I would say it's characterized as rejecting the plan that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had for them. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to bring them into Eretz Yisrael, and they rebelled against that plan. It was an act of merit, an act of rebellion against HaKadosh Baruch Hu and his desires. That's not really the same thing as what happened with Miriam. Miriam spoke poorly against Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay, so I can understand the concept of speaking poorly against a person, speaking inappropriately against a person. But what does it mean to speak inappropriately against an inanimate object, against Eretz Yisrael? It's not that they spoke against Eretz Yisrael. They rejected the plan of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The analogy between Miriam, the story of Miriam, and the story of the Meraglim just doesn't seem to be an analogy. Furthermore, how do you understand the Lashon Hara of Miriam against Moshe Rabbeinu altogether? Usually, when we think of Lashon Hara, we think of somebody saying something unflattering about someone else, right? You know, that person, you know, they're so unkind. That person, they're so uncharitable, right? You know, you say things against another person that belittle them or put down their character. Miriam didn't put down the character of Moshe Rabbeinu. According to Chazal, Miriam criticized an action that Moshe Rabbeinu had taken. Let's review how Chazal understand the story of Miriam. Again, the psukim themselves are somewhat oblique and difficult to understand if you just understand them on the level of pshat. In the beginning of Perek Yud Beis, the end of Parshas Baloscha, it says that Vatidaber Miriam v'Aaron b'Moshe. Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moshe Rabbeinu. Al odos ha'isha hakushis asher lakach, regarding the Cushite woman whom he had married. What is that all about? So Chazal tell us a totally different story from what you would think reading the psukim, right? Who's this isha hakushis, this Cushite woman? So Chazal tell us that this was none other than Tzipora. And what happened? So basically, say Chazal, when Moshe Rabbeinu received the Torah, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him that you, like everybody else, have to separate from your wife. All of the men of Klal Yisrael separated from their wives prior to Matan Torah. That's what the Pasuk says. But whereas after the Torah was given, the men were allowed to return to their wives, they were allowed to maintain regular marital relations, not so Moshe Rabbeinu. The Pasuk says, V'ata po amodi modi. You, Moshe Rabbeinu, you stay with me, which Chazal interpret to mean, you are never allowed to resume regular marital relations. Basically, for all intents and purposes, you have to end the marital relationship that you have with Tzipora. Miriam became aware of this, and Miriam criticized Moshe Rabbeinu for doing this. Miriam said, I don't understand. To be a Navi doesn't mean that you have to separate from your spouse. Aaron's a Navi, I'm a Neviah, we don't separate from our spouses. Why is it that you, Moshe Rabbeinu, are separating from Tzipora? It's inappropriate what you're doing. So how is that Lashon Hara? That's a criticism. She may have been wrong in the criticism, but a criticism is not synonymous with Lashon Hara. She goes to Aaron, her brother, and airs this criticism. It seems as if at some point she discusses it with Moshe Rabbeinu as well, because she's together with Moshe Rabbeinu in Pasuk Dalet. So how is a criticism of somebody considered to be Lashon Hara? She's not saying, Moshe Rabbeinu, you're a foolish person. She's not degrading him. She's criticizing a particular act that he did. And one can argue that she's actually sticking up for her sister-in-law, for Tzipora. how can you treat your wife in such a terrible fashion? You know, just because you're a Navi doesn't mean that you're obligated to separate from your wife. So how is that Lashon Hara? So Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal showed us how both the speech of Miriam as well as the speech of the Miraglim is Lashon Hara, but it's Lashon Hara in a broader sense of the term. The truth is, when the Torah speaks about the sin of the Miraglim, it says that they were motzi diba, they spoke in an inappropriate fashion about Eretz Yisrael. That maybe is a little bit of a clue. Our definition of Lashon Hara is perhaps a little bit more narrow than would help us understand these two stories. Again, we say, as we said before, we generally understand Lashon Hara to mean you say something degrading about another person. And there we have the difficulty in applying that term to both the story of Miriam and the story of the Miraglim. What did Miriam say about Moshe that was degrading? And how can you be guilty of Lashon Hara in speaking about an inanimate object like a country? So Rav Soloveitchik, no. Lashon Hara over here in these contexts means that both Miriam and the Miraglim said something that challenged a fundamental belief of Yiddishkeit. So let's understand what that was. Let's start with the example of Miriam speaking out against Moshe Rabbeinu. Miriam's criticism of Moshe Rabbeinu is that he separated from his wife Tzipporah. As a Navi, it's not necessary for him to act in such a drastic manner. What's the Ribbono Shel Olam's response to that criticism of Miriam? So the Pasuk tells us, in Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Vav, Vayomer, Hashem comes to Aaron and Miriam, and he says, Shimuna Dvaroi, listen carefully to what I'm about to say. Im Yiyeh Neviachem, Hashem Bamara Elov Esvada, Bachalom Adaber Bo. Generally speaking, when you have a Navi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to him in a dream in the middle of the night. Lochein avdi Moshe, but my servant Moshe is not like that. B'chol beisi ne'emonu, he has an unusual degree of closeness to Hashem, more so than any other Navi. Pe'el pe'adaber bo, I speak to him mouth to mouth. Umare v'lo v'chidos, I don't speak to him through riddles. I show him directly what it is that I want to convey to him. Usmunas Hashem yabit, he sees the image of God, so to speak, in a direct kind of fashion. Being that all of this is true, how could you not be afraid to speak out against my servant Moshe? Explain Chazal, what is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was trying to convey to Miriam and Aaron? Basically, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was conveying to Miriam and Aaron the following. Moshe Rabbeinu's nevuah is on a fundamentally different level than every other Navi. Every other Navi sees HaKadosh Baruch Hu in an indirect fashion, bas baklaria she'eino me'ira, through a hazy glass. Moshe Rabbeinu, as it were, perceives HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a very, almost unfiltered way, bas baklaria ha'me'ira, through a clear glass. And the level of prophecy that's given to Moshe Rabbeinu is not just higher than other Nevi'im, it's in a different category than other Nevi'im. That's essential for our commitment to Yiddishkeit. That's an essential part of our belief system, that the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu is unique. In fact, the Rambam considers that to be one of the Yud Gimel Ikrei Emunah, one of the 13 articles of faith. That the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu is fundamentally different than the Nevuah given to any other Navi. Why is that so fundamental? Because the Torah ultimately was revealed to us through Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, if Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah was on par with the Nevuah of other Nevi'im, so in theory, a later Navi could come along and say, Moshe Rabbeinu got his Nevuah, and you were told to do X. But now I'm coming along and giving you my Nevuah, and I was told to do Y. In fact, there are major religions out there in the world today that say exactly that. Moshe Rabbeinu was a Navi, he got his Nevuah, but whoever it is came on later on in the scene of history and got a subsequent Nevuah, a New Testament, so to speak, And that new Nevuah, as it were, replaces the old Nevuah. We believe fundamentally that can't be, because the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu is so unique and so much in a category by itself, there will never be anyone else who will ever be able to duplicate or replicate that level of Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu. L'kom Navi Od B'Yisrael K'Moshe. And the quality of that Nevuah is something which is just in a category by itself. There's never going to be another Torah, because there can't ever be another conduit like Moshe Rabbeinu that will reveal this quote-unquote new Torah that will ever come along. So, and therefore, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Miriam and Aaron, you are mistaken to think that Moshe Rabbeinu is like any other Navi. Any other Navi, so he can be with his wife, because just he prepares himself whenever he's ready to receive a Nevuah. And, you know, at that point, he'll purify himself, you know, to be able to receive the Nevuah. But Moshe Rabbeinu is on the constant beck and call of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He has to be ready to receive Nevuah of the highest level at any moment. And such a unique status precludes him from having a regular marital relationship like everyone else in the world. So the criticism of Moshe Rabbeinu was based on a lack of understanding. And it wasn't malicious. And it was a criticism. It wasn't Lashon Hara in the sense of just looking to degrade someone or put them down or to make fun of them. But it missed a fundamental understanding of Yiddishkeit that sees Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah as being in a category by itself. In the terms that the Rav Zatzal uses, Moshe Rabbeinu is considered to be skula. Skula means in a separate category, not comparable to any other thing or person that we might have put in that category. You thought Moshe Rabbeinu was just a Navi, maybe a little bit better than the average Navi, but in the end of the day, just another Navi. No, that's not true at all. Moshe Rabbeinu was fundamentally in a different category. He was in a class by himself, and recognizing that is a fundamental principle of Yiddishkeit, and you messed up on that. What the Meraglim did in their sin was fundamentally almost identical to what Miriam did as well. Miriam failed to appreciate that Moshe Rabbeinu was skula in a category by himself vis-a-vis other Nevi'im. The Meraglim failed to recognize that Eretz Yisrael was skula in a category by itself vis-a-vis other lands. And let's elaborate. It would seem that the Meraglim recognized that Eretz Yisrael was a special place, different than the other countries in the world. After all, they came back to the people. They said, the land which we've seen is indeed a beautiful land. We read in Perek Yud Gimel, Pasuk Chav Zayin, Banu el ha'aretz asher shlachtanu, we came to the land to which you sent us. Vigam zavas chalav udvashi. Indeed, it's flowing with milk and honey. Vizeh piria. And look at these fruits which we brought back. They're incredible. But there are difficulties with entering into Eretz Yisrael. We're afraid of the ferocious people who live there and inhabit Eretz Yisrael. So, you know, it's better than other lands, but it's not essential to our Jewish lifestyle. It's nice. It's fine. It has many wonderful qualities to recommend it. But it's not in a category by itself. It's not this essential aspect of what our Avodas Hashem is supposed to be all about. And in that sense, one can speak of the Meraglim speaking Lashon Hara against Eretz Yisrael. Generally speaking, you can't speak Lashon Hara against an inanimate object. If I pick up a coffee mug and I say, you know, this coffee mug looks ugly, that's not Lashon Hara. But to say that Eretz Yisrael is not the place that we need to go into is to deny a fundamental aspect of our Avodas Hashem. To say it's a nice land, but fundamentally different, but fundamentally speaking, the difference between it and other countries is only a difference of degree, not a difference of kind, is making the same theological mistake that Miriam made with regard to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu isn't just a little bit better than the other Nevi'im. He's in a category by himself. He's skula. He's special. And that's the Yesod HaEmunah, a fundamental aspect of our belief. Eretz Yisrael isn't just a little bit different than other lands, a little bit nicer, a little bit more beautiful. You know, again, in the end of the day, you can take it or leave it. No. It's skula mikol ha'aretzos. It's in a fundamentally different category than every other land. And the connection between Klal Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael is something which is as integral as that connection between Moshe Rabbeinu and the unique Nevuah which brought about the Torah HaKadosha itself. That was the fundamental mistake of the Meraglim. And says Rashi, quoting the Tanchuma, they should have seen that the same way that Moshe Rabbeinu was unique, Eretz Yisrael and its connection to Klal Yisrael is unique as well. Think over the past number of weeks, certainly, there's been a lot of discussion among many people about when are we going to Eretz Yisrael already, right? The difficulties that we suffered with the coronavirus, the difficulties with the social unrest, we'll call it that, that's sweeping through various parts of America. It's time to go, it's time to go, it's time to go. And perhaps that's right. But I think as we make those statements, it's important for us to reflect on the following as well, which is, our connection to Eretz Yisrael is not simply because there are a lot of physical milos, or physical, you know, attributes that it has that might make it a better place, a better quality of life than we have here in America under the current circumstances. That may be true as well, and that may be increasingly true as time goes on. But our connection to Eretz Yisrael is something that runs much more, much deeper, and much more and is much more fundamental. Eretz Yisrael ultimately is essential to our conception of Yiddishkeit, to our ability to engage in Avodas Hashem, in our ability to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's the place where ultimately, that's where Jewish history is going to bring us, to the extent to which it's brought us there already. And seeing Eretz Yisrael as just simply a place that has a better quality of life, even if that's true, sells short Eretz Yisrael in so many ways as well. And this parasha, which is the parasha which I think more so than any other parasha really extols the virtues of Eretz Yisrael, the importance of Eretz Yisrael, and the beauty, the centrality of Eretz Yisrael. Let's be zocha that Bekarov Mamish, in a very, very immediate sense, we should be zocha to reignite that connection to Eretz Yisrael, and to recognize that it's skula mikol ha'aretzos, that it's really a unique place, the same way that the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu is unique insofar as it brought us the Torah HaKadosha. We want to wish everybody a wonderful Shabbos. Everyone should be well and should be safe. And we'll take the opportunity now to say Kapitlach Tehillim, Kuf Sadi Aleph 91, and Kuf Lamed 130. Then we'll daven for the Cholim. Yoshe v'seisar el yom b'sel shaddai yislonon. Omar Adonai, machse yom sudasi, Elohai yeftach bo, ki hu yatsilucho mipach yokush, midever havos, ve'evroso yosech loch, v'sachas kenofov tefse, sino v'so chiro amito, lo siro mipach adoilo, Mechets yof yomam, bidever baofel yaloch, yiketev yoshut zoroyim, yipomit siddicho elef urvavam iminecho, elecho lo yigosh, rak beinecho sabik, yishilumas vishoyim tireh, ki ato Adonai machsi, al yom tzam tom yonecho, Lo sunai lecho ro'o v'nega lo yikrav yo alecho ki malochov yitzav eloch lishmorcho b'chol d'rochecho al kapayim yisonecho en tigov bo'evin raglecho al shachal v'ofes en tidroch kirmos kefir v'sanin Kivi choshak v'yafalateyu, asa geveyu ki yada shemi, Yikoreini v'neyu imon olchivet sara. Achalitzeyu v'yachabedeyu arech yomim hasbiyeyu. Miareyu v'shuosi. Kuflamid 130. Shira malos. Mimamakim kirosicho Adonai. Adonai shema v'koli. Tienos necho kashuvos l'kol dachanunai. Im avonos tishmar yo Adonai mi yamon ki emecho asilicho leman tivorei ki visi Adonai ki beso nafshi v'lidvaro hocholti nafshi l'Adonai mi shomerim laboker shomerim laboker yachel Yisrael el Adonai Ki Adonai Yachesed V'yarvei Mofidus V'hu Yivdes Yisrael Mikol Avonosov Yishibirach Avosenu Avraham Yitzchok V'yakom Moshe V'yaron Dovid Shlomo V'yivark V'yarape Yisacholim
Amen.
Yes. Wishing everybody a wonderful Shabbos.